Good morning, Southwest Florida. It is 11:07 here at News Radio 1580 WCCF, and it's time for the Dr. Triana Show. Our phone number is 206-1580 or toll-free at 888-441-1580. Give us a call at any point during the show if you have a question or a comment. And now it's our host of the program, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
And good morning, everyone. Good morning. And what a beautiful day with the cool, brisk air. And we have such an amazing guest today. Everyone knows one of my mission is education. And in trying to educate my radio audience about their health, about their body, about the health of their community, I say that your physical health is just as important as your sexual health, your mental health, and your spiritual health. And there is no greater resource in my heart than the children of our community. So we have today Kim Amontree. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Kim is running for school board. She is an amazing woman, I tell you. She is such a role model for the girls and women in our community. I'm so proud to have her on my show today and to talk about her commitment besides everything else she does. So talk about yourself and what got you on this path.
Well, the first thing to know about me is that I've never been involved in politics. I've never campaigned before. This is a first for me. But I've always been passionate about education. Like you, I feel that it's the most important thing that individuals can do for themselves. And as a parent, it was the most important thing for my children. So the way that I got involved in our public school system here was not just through my own three children, but 6 years ago, I became a mentor through the Take Stock in Children program, which is a program that the Charlotte Local Education Foundation runs. And I mentored a young man in high school. And once I did that, I really saw the challenges that some of our children face. And after 3 years of being a mentor, they asked me if I would join the Board of Trustees. And I've been on the board now for 3 years.
Of the Charlotte Foundation?
Of the Charlotte Local Education Foundation.
And what is that?
So the Charlotte Local Education Foundation is the foundation that supports our public schools. And as I was saying, one of the primary programs that we support is called Take Stock in Children, which is a unique mentor scholarship program. And by becoming involved with that program, I became very aware of the challenges that the students in our county face and that our schools face. And I started out helping one child at a time. Then I went on the board. And now we have 54 children that are in our Take Stock in Children program here in Charlotte County. And I became the president on July 1 of that organization. And through my work there, somebody came to me and they said, you know, you would really make a good school board member. And it had actually been in the back of my mind that I thought I could do something on a larger level. I just needed that push to give me the confidence to do it.
That's wonderful. But besides, I know you're a mother. You have business. Talk to us about what you do besides running for school board.
So I tell people
it's
that
it's not like she has nothing to do, you know.
I tell people that I have four jobs. I have my fun job, which I do just for fun, which is that I teach spin at the Punta Gorda YMCA.
And ladies, she's really fit.
That is awesome. That was my favorite. When I went to the Y, I haven't been in some time, but my teacher used to be Brenda. I used to go to her
spin class.
Yep. Yeah. And now I may just come to your spin class.
That's right, 4 days a week.
Wow.
4 days a week. And I'll make a little plug for that. We have our spin-a-thon this Saturday. The YMCA is holding a spin-a-thon at the Bayfront Center. Mm-hmm. And all of the money raised will go to the Y Kids campaign to send kids to camp.
I can offer a testimonial here about spin. I lost 30 pounds one summer from spin class.
Wow.
Yes.
I did. The summer of 2013.
I'm going to have to sign up.
Yes. So that's my fun job. That's what I love to do just for fun. I love motivating people. I love the music. And then I have my making a living job, which is running my husband's practice, the Center for Digestive and Liver Disorders.
Her husband's a well-known gastroenterologist here in town and extremely nice.
Yes. I think so.
And a great doctor. Go ahead.
And then I have the job, I say, where my heart lies, which is being president of the Charlotte Local Education Foundation and now running for school board.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. That,
and you have three children,
and
right?
I have three children. And one of the reasons that I'm able now to extend my passion to running for school board is that my children are now at an age where they're pretty much independent. I have one who's graduating from college this spring. I have one who's graduating from high school in May. And my daughter just turned 14, and she'll be starting high school in the fall.
Wow, that'll keep you busy too, just that alone.
Yes.
And you've lived here in Charlotte County for a while, haven't you?
25 years. I've been here for 25 years. It'll be 25 years next week, actually, from when I moved here.
25 years. Where did you live before?
I actually moved here from New Orleans. I'm originally from Colorado, but I moved around quite a bit. I met my husband in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then my job took me to New Orleans, and we dated long distance for a year. And I guess after about 6 months, he said to me, what would you think about moving to Florida, since this is where he was from? And I said, not much without a ring. So he took another 6 months to think about it and convinced me to move here.
Oh,
so
that...
we've been here ever since, and I love it.
Oh, I grew up here. As you know, I grew up here in Charlotte County. I went to the elementary school here, and I'm the first woman to grow up here, come back and practice medicine. So I love it here. I really do. So you're a mother, you're a business, and you're a community leader. I know you've worked with different organizations.
Yes, the Charlotte Local Education Foundation is actually the fourth nonprofit that I've been involved in. Almost from the very day that I came here, I was drawn into the Center for Abuse and Rape Emergencies. Shortly after I moved here, I was working as a mortgage originator, and I used to go around and call on all the real estate offices. And longtime listeners might remember Arlene Powell, who she and her husband had a real estate agency in Fisherman's Village.
Yes.
Dave and Arlene Powell. And Arlene grabbed onto me immediately, and she said, we need you to come on the care board. So I was on the care board for 7 years.
Wow.
And then I also was on the vestry of Church of the Good Shepherd. And I was on the board of my children's school, Charlotte Academy, and now Charlotte Local Education Foundation.
That's great. If you have any questions for Kim today or for me, you give us a call at 206-1580. This is very important. I know some people will say, we have a lot of older people who are retired, and they might say to you, which I don't agree with, but they might say, you know, why am I paying for the school system here? What's your response? It's okay.
Well, what I would say is that if we do not educate our children, we all suffer.
Yes.
Last year in Charlotte County, 1 out of 4 of our high school seniors did not graduate from high school. If we do not have high school graduates, those students will not have jobs. If they don't have jobs, who do you think is going to pay for them? We are. They're not going to be able to have jobs that support a family, so we, the taxpayers, will be supporting them. So that's the very practical reason that you should care. Of course, I have a very altruistic notion, which is that we should all care about our children. We were not all of us, but many of us have been mothers and have been parents. And the children of Charlotte County, they belong to all of us. And Betsy, even though you mentioned to me that you don't have kids, but I know the way that you feel is really all the children of Charlotte County are your children.
The children is our greatest resource. And if we can't educate and take care of our children, it's kind of like people say, are you going to spend money on the front end to help educate them? Or are you going to let them not be educated and don't help them so they end up with maybe even ending up in prison or crimes, which we're going to have to pay for anyways?
Exactly. Exactly. And I truly do believe that the strength of a community school system is the foundation for a strong community. We can't be a strong community if we don't have good schools.
I totally agree. And I think it's part of doing for the community because we live here. It's part of who we are.
Right.
We want the schools to be strong and vibrant and healthy. And, you know, maybe you don't have children, but maybe Maybe your grandkids go to school here, or maybe your friends who have little kids go to school here.
Right. And many people who are here and enjoying this wonderful retirement here in Florida, I would imagine that many, probably most of your listeners went to public schools themselves. I went to public schools, so did my husband, so did you.
Right.
And we can all look back on having received that good public education and know that it was the foundation for our success as adults. So it's time now for us to pay it forward and make sure that the next generation of children has an access to that good quality public education.
And it's just, I'm a bookworm. I love to learn. It's so much fun. I feel like that's what makes life so interesting too.
Right.
There's always something to learn, something new to read and study. And I remember we had a sixth grade trip, and it was at Peace River Elementary School. And we walked across the street because there was the sewage plant.
Really?
And I always love science. You know where the, it's where that Publix and
yeah,
Central
that
Park.
Used to be the sewage plant?
Yes. And, you know, being a kid who my parents gave me a little microscope, I had to ask a gazillion questions on how they treat the sewage, how they, you know, all the science stuff. And that we walked across the street. So that was our sixth grade trip. But anyways.
Well, I was going to say, I really believe that we have so many wonderful retirees in this community. And even though they're not raising children now, I think what they can offer the children of this community, I think they have so much to give back in their own knowledge. Like you're saying, turning children into lifelong learners and what they can teach our children is a wonderful resource we have here in Charlotte County that we're not using enough.
And didn't you also pursue higher education later on?
Yes, absolutely.
Talk about that. I think that's so good. She worked, mother, and...
Well, I waited. I had children after I finished my formal education. So I was fortunate, and so was my husband, that we both were born into families that education was the most important priority. So I went to University of Colorado and received my degree in business and then went out into the workforce for several years. And then I went back to school and got my MBA, and that was enormously helpful for running my husband's business and starting another business.
See, that's really great. So you're a lifelong learner too.
Yes. The way that I was taught, what my parents told me is the more education you have, the more opportunities you'll have in life.
Yeah, the more that opens doors.
Yes.
And you get to decide. I always tell everyone, I love that I went to school and I get to do what I love every day.
Right.
I get that opportunity. So we're going to take a little break here and we'll be right back.
Okay, guys, listen up. You feel like a 70-year-old man in a 45-year-old body can't work out like you used to. Maybe your testosterone is low. You know, testosterone is the dipstick of men's health. Levels decline after 30, accelerated by a variety of environmental chemicals that can convert the reduced testosterone you are producing to estrogen. That's the female hormone, and not good. You can change all that at the Triana Center for Hormone Balance. There, your hormones are measured, a thorough physical done, and a program to restore your hormone balance is laid out for you. Bioidentical hormone pellets are inserted beneath the skin every 4 to 5 months by a certified BioT physician. 15 minutes and you're on your way to feeling better, having more energy, improved muscle tone, and renewed interest in your sex partner. Yay! Still not convinced? Go to the BioT website. That is BioTEmedical.com. Then call 625-1990 for an appointment that will change your life.
Hi, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Let me balance your hormones with BioT. Call me at 941-625-1990 for your appointment.
And it's 11:21 here on a beautiful day in Southwest Florida, and it's back to the Dr. Triana Show. Hey, don't forget, 206-1580 is our number, 206-1580, or toll-free at 888-441-1580. And now it's back to the show with Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Yes, and we have our wonderful guest here, Kim Amantri, who's running for school board. And so if you have any questions for her about her passion for education, give us a call at 206-1580. I'm very proud to know that someone with all her experience is going to be giving our community so much, really, because I know that you're so busy and yet your passion for education saying, I'm going to go to the next level.
Thank you. Thanks. I like to tell people that one of my favorite quotes when people ask me why I do this is Representative Shirley Chisholm, who was the first African-American congresswoman. She said that rent is the service we pay for the privilege of living on this earth. And I believe that.
That is really nice.
Did I say that backwards? I say service is the rent. I think I said it backwards. Service is the rent we pay for the privilege of living on this earth.
Okay. It's giving of yourself to your community. So tell us, what does a school board member do, really? So, for those of us who don't know or may not.
Well, it's interesting that you would ask that. I think a lot of people don't understand what the school board does. They don't hire the teachers. They don't tell the teachers what to do. Their job is to hire and evaluate the superintendent. And then his job is to be the leadership of the schools and the school employees. So the first thing the school board does is hire and evaluate the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
The second most important job they do is they evaluate and pass the budget. So they have the responsibility for determining how money is spent in our schools.
That's a big deal.
Yes. Our local schools have a $200 million budget.
Wow.
Right. And then the third thing they do is they set the policies for the schools. They spend a lot of time looking at existing policies, making sure that those policies are in accordance with the Florida statutes, that we're meeting all of the legal requirements. And of course, then the overall important thing the school board does with those policies is make sure that our children will be safe.
Wow, that's quite, that's a lot. So, but a lot of, and you said, because I know you were explaining, we were talking a little bit before, that the budget has other outside influences like the federal, the state. You were talking, because
yes,
we were talking about supplies for the kids.
Yeah. So people probably don't realize that a lot of the school board's budget, our local school board here in Charlotte County really does not have as much control as they might like, because we have to follow the law. So if the federal government says, for example, that you must fund English as a second language programs for students who do not speak English at home, you must provide money to do that. You must train teachers so that they can teach to English as a second language learners. And that's part of the budget. Our state legislators all the time pass things and say that we, the local schools, you must do this. For example, right now in the Florida Senate, they are discussing giving an option that students can take a coding class to meet their foreign language requirement. That's had a lot of discussion lately in the news and in the newspaper.
Oh, yes, computer coding.
So if they pass that, the school board will have to decide, are we going to hire teachers that are trained to teach coding? So you have the federal legal requirements, you have our state legislators that are passing things, and then, of course, you have the union contract, which is set in stone, that says this is how much your staff will be paid. So when you put those three things together, it leaves a very small part of the budget left for the school board to determine how it will be spent.
For example, I remember for a time there was a big controversy about PE.
Right.
And the arts.
Yes.
And, you know, about two Fridays back, I had the maestro on my show from the Charlotte Symphony. And I love music, and music develops the brain. And first of all, it's good for your soul. It's good for your health. So if we can't have discretion about sports or PE, how do you deal with that?
It's going to be difficult. I just went recently to the Les Mis show at Charlotte High School. I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
I heard it was absolutely great.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal what those students did. And so as I was sitting there in the audience, I thought to myself, as a potential school board member, what am I going to do if the money's not there? Because I really do believe that that is such an important part of educating our children, is that they have access to the theater, to being in band, right, to all of the sports. And that's probably going to be one of the most difficult things as a school board member, is wanting to be able to fund everything.
Yes.
And not being able to do it. Because that's the other interesting thing about Florida schools, is that unlike a lot of our listeners who are probably from the Northeast,
mm-hmm,
and when they were paying taxes there, the local school boards would put out to the voters a millage rate. Okay. And the voters then could vote and say, yes, this is how many mills we want to pass to fund our schools.
Yeah, that's based on your property, right?
Right. But in Florida, it works differently. In Florida, our state legislators say, in fact, they're in the process of doing this right now, they say, we are going to fund on a per-student basis this amount of money. And right now they're debating it'll be somewhere between $72 and $7,300. So they pass that amount, and they say, this is how much is going to be spent per student in Charlotte County. Then that dollar figure gets multiplied out by all the students that we have here in Charlotte County. Then they divide that whole pot of money out among all of the property tax owners. So the school board isn't deciding how much you pay in property taxes for schools. It's our state legislators that are deciding.
I really didn't know that.
Right. I think most people don't.
That's really interesting. And so really if it comes from Tallahassee, which then even if Charlotte County said, we want to spend all this money on the arts, it's what the state will tell.
Right. They give us the pot of money. Now, in Sarasota, that you do have an option in your county to put forward a proposal to pass an extra mill, which would lend itself to more dollars. And they tried that several years ago in Charlotte County, and it got voted down.
Oh.
In Sarasota County, they did pass that.
Oh.
So
they have more
money to work with there.
For education.
Yes.
And that comes from our property taxes?
Yes.
Okay. And that's single family homes, business, everything,
yes,
all properties.
Yes. So the other reason you were asking about why people, retirees in our community, why they should care about the schools and how it affects their taxes, is if we don't have good schools in this community, we will not be able to bring new businesses here.
Right.
If we don't bring new businesses here, then guess who's paying all of those property taxes to support the schools? You, the homeowner. So I feel like as a business owner, I want us to have a strong economy. I want us to bring new businesses here. If I was a retiree, I would want to see that happen so that that property tax burden gets spread out among more homes and businesses.
Well, in a lot of the cities and a lot of states, people, there was a whole program I heard, the millennials are now, that's one of the first thing they look at is, and most people do, they're having children. What is the school system
Absolutely.
Like? Before they even move to that area.
Absolutely.
And say, oh, I'm not going to go there. I'm a highly educated person. I want my kids highly educated. And then they'll say, oh, that school system is not going to support that.
Exactly. And that's one of my biggest concerns here in Charlotte County, is that with one out of four of our high school seniors not graduating last year, businesses won't move here if they don't have high school graduates to hire. Families won't move here if they don't have confidence in the school system.
But also, it isn't just the high school that you have. There's a wonderful, it used to be called the Vo-Tech when I was young. And it really would teach.
Yes.
Skills.
Yes.
Because, you know, I know not everybody wants to go to college, or maybe not everybody wants to get a PhD, but I always say you should have a way to make a living, right?
Right.
Have a skill.
So the Charlotte Technical Center, I really feel, is the overlooked jewel of our county.
And that's under the auspice also of the school board?
Yes, it is. And they do a phenomenal job, and I feel like we could be doing so much more there than we already are doing.
Yes, because I forgot how old it is. It's been around for a while, but there's so many people that I know who've been very well educated there.
And sometimes people think
their
that
trade.
Right. Sometimes people think if you we have a program now where I believe starting in 10th grade, high school students can dual enroll at the tech center. So they can be taking right. classes at their high school and also at the tech center and working toward that industry certification. And some people have said to me, well, if they go on that path, then they're not going to college. That is absolutely not true. Some of the programs they have at the technical center, if they are accredited programs, those students get college credit that they can carry with them if they choose to continue on to college.
But also, I really promote, as I said, education. So I've had young people working in my office who worked part-time, went to school. In fact, I have a lady that worked with me since a junior in high school. Her name is Jennifer. She's been on the radio show with me. And she went to college, and then she went and got her master's in public health, straight A's, and worked with me, and then worked in my office, moving up, became office manager. I'm starting as a junior in high school. Now she does my billing, and her husband got a job out of state, so she moved. But I am so proud of her. And she sent me an email saying that we've worked together for 16 years. I mean, and I have other people worked in my office who I said, whatever I can do, I say, school is very important. They'll go to school. They work in the office. I have some who are became nurses and now want to be doctors. I have my own nephew who wants to be a doctor. So I really, I try to walk the walk is what I'm saying. In mentoring, I've mentored for the university. So you mentor, and that's what got you interested in this.
Yes. When people ask me, what can we do to help in our public schools? How can I help? And like I said, we have so many wonderful retirees who do want to help.
Right.
One of the absolute best things that you can do that costs no money, just some of your time, is mentoring a student. And we have a phenomenal program in Charlotte County called Take Stock in Children. Mm-hmm. You can find information about it on their website, takestockinchildren.org. And what we do is we pair adult mentors with at-risk, low-income youth. They're selected in their eighth grade year. I just started mentoring my second student, and I just adore this girl. In fact, she wants to become a physician.
Oh, wow.
And she's so smart and so motivated. Her family is from Haiti. They immigrated here from Haiti. The father said to me when we surprised him and let him know that not only was his daughter getting a mentor, at the end of the 4 years of mentoring, they receive a college scholarship. This man was crying. He said, where I came from in Haiti, he said, my family had to choose between food or an education. And he said, we had to choose food or I would have starved. He said, people don't realize in your country how fortunate we are that everyone can get a good education.
Yes.
And I said to someone, for this father telling him that we are going to get his daughter to college, that would be like me saying to you, I'm going to send your son to the moon. That's how far off that dream of college seems to him. So for people who are interested in helping the students in our schools, mentoring works.
It really, because it's hands-on. Now, you say you have scholarships, so how do you all raise money for that?
I'm glad you asked.
Am I asking too many questions?
No, I am glad you asked. I love to talk about this, because as the president of the board of directors, that is the primary function of the board, is raising the funds for these scholarships. And just this week, we have started a new initiative called Launch a Scholar. And what we are trying to do is get individuals to pledge $85. For every 100 people that pledge $85, then that comes to $8,500 for the math there, we can provide a college scholarship. Now, the smart people listening are saying, how can she do that? How can she send somebody to college for $8,500? Two things play into that. First is, for every $8,500 we raise, the Florida Prepaid Foundation matches us. So then we have a total of $17,000. Still thinking, that's still pretty reasonable to send a kid to college. Well, the reason is our state legislators do believe in this program so much that they actually give us a break on the cost of purchasing a four-year tuition contract.
Oh my goodness, that's fabulous.
So for $8,500, we send a kid to college. And the key to it is the mentor, because there are a lot of scholarship programs out there. But the reason ours is so successful is because we match up the mentor with the student.
Mm-hmm.
That helps guide them through the process. And we also have a college success coach as part of our team. And starting in their junior and senior year of high school, she works with them to make sure that they're taking the correct tests, applying for other scholarships to help cover costs of housing and books. So the average in the state of Florida, they have a 56% average of students who graduate from high school and go on to some kind of post-secondary education. Mm-hmm. So 56%. For the Take Stock in Children program, it's 92% in the state of Florida.
Wow.
In Charlotte County last year, we sent all 12 of our high school seniors, graduated high school, and went to college. So we have 100% success rate last
year.
That
is incredible. That is wonderful. So if anybody wants to contact Kim Amontre about this wonderful program and about the fact that she's running for school board, I'm just so impressed with all that you do. Give us a call at 206-1580. How can somebody contact you? What if somebody wants to be able to help you with your campaign, or what? How do they even, you need to tell us about when do you vote for this?
Okay. So you can contact me at amontreforschoolboard.com. That's A-M-O-N-T-R-E-E for schoolboard.com. On my website, there's a button you can click on that says voter information. And if you click on that, it'll take you to the Supervisor of Elections website. You can check your voter status. The election will take place on August 30th, 2016. I know a lot of our listeners won't be here on August 30th.
Mm.
So you can check and make sure that you are receiving a vote by mail ballot. And if you're not already signed up to receive one, you can sign up right there to receive your ballot in the mail. The important thing to remember is that whether you are a registered Republican, Democrat, or no party affiliation, everybody can vote on August 30th for the school board.
Everybody.
It's a nonpartisan position, and everybody votes for it.
Is it by where your address is, like where you, like county commissioner where you live?
So I am representing District 2, which is Punta Gorda, but everybody in Charlotte County
can vote.
Will vote for the District 2 position, yes.
Okay. So listen, everybody, get on that website. Say it again.
AmontreforSchoolBoard.com. Click on voter information.
I mean, if you want somebody who is vested in the community and has such a passion, including business vesture, also children, and you know the word actions speak louder than words, and your actions are already speaking for you, all that you've done for the community. So everybody, give us a call if you have any questions. 206-1580. So what other things that I know there was a lot of challenges, and I don't know, I have had on my program Christy Smith from the Kiwanis, that she collects shoes, tennis shoes, and she's going to be on my show again. I think 3 or 4 times she's already been. And I've had the ladies from CARE and from Zonta for the community. And the problem where they have to collect 5,000 tennis shoes and so many little kids. The story, Christy came, I'm telling you, remember Zane? I had the ladies here from my office. We were like crying almost.
Well,
we had to pass the tissues around.
I'm a fairly strong, guy, and I was bawling. I was absolutely in tears over.
Hello, caller.
Hi, caller. Talk to us.
Okay. Maybe they got disconnected. But I tell you, we were just so impressed with all that she does with the tennis shoes. But at the same time, I know one of your data says that 65% of the children in the county are on either reduced or...
Right. Free and reduced lunch. So most of the students in our Charlotte County public schools qualify to receive free or reduced lunch. In fact, so many of our students qualify for that, that at a recent school board workshop meeting, they presented something called the Community Eligibility Program, CEP. I believe that's what the acronym stands for.
Mm-hmm.
And if you qualify for that, you can just say in a certain school that we are going to give 100% of the students free breakfast and free lunch, and the parents don't even have to fill out an application. So here's the thing about that. It makes me happy because I am happy that all of those, it's going to be, they're going to roll that out in 12 of our 20 schools next fall. It is not, I don't think it's been officially approved at the school board meeting yet, but it looks like that's the direction they're going. So 12 out of 20 of our schools next fall, 100% of the children will receive free breakfast and free lunch. I'm happy about that. Kids cannot learn if they have a hungry belly.
Oh, yes.
But at the same time, it makes me very sad that that's where we are as a community, that we need that. And I think a lot of us live in a bubble and don't realize the challenges that families with young children in this county face.
Yes, because economically they just, and that's why Christy would talk about the tennis shoes and these children that would come and their shoes were either too small, too big, or they were duct taped together. Mm-hmm. So how could you learn if you're hungry?
Right. Right. So, and we have so many great organizations in this town that are helping at the ground level with
right.
the kids facing those issues. And I would encourage your listeners to reach out to those organizations and do what they can to help. I mean, off the top of my head, there's Kiwanis with the shoes.
There's the backpack kids.
There's the backpack kids. Those women do a phenomenal job. You know, I have friends with several of those ladies, and
yes.
I said to them, I said, this is going to be great. We're going to get those kids fed breakfast and lunch 5 days a week during the school week, and you guys are going to make sure they get fed on the weekends.
They do over 1,000 backpacks
yes.
a week.
Yes.
A week. And it's
yeah.
a volunteer organization.
And
that's amazing.
And kids are on the waiting list for it.
Yes.
One of my friends who's a teacher, she said to me that she had one little girl in her class who came up to her and said, I won't say her name, but she said, Mrs. Teacher.
Yes.
When do I get a backpack? I said, that's it. I'm writing a check right now.
Hello, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I was curious, what are the kids served for breakfast?
What are the kids served for breakfast? You know, I do not know. Any ideas?
Well, you know, I do not know, except that recently I was at the Martin Luther King breakfast, which they did at the Punta Gorda Middle School.
Yes.
And they basically served us school breakfast. And it was like a little egg, like scrambled egg kind of a thing
mm-hmm.
with a biscuit, which I will say the biscuit was the tastiest part, and some hash browns and some juice. It
oh.
wasn't bad.
No coffee?
I did get coffee.
Oh. So, caller, thank you for calling.
Well, I just wondered, because a sugary start is the worst thing you can do, and they say a protein is the brain food.
Yes,
I wonder if
is.
They wouldn't get some bacon or sausage or a little slice of ham or some turkey or chicken as well.
Actually, now that you're saying that, I think that there was maybe a couple strips of either bacon or sausage on that plate, as I recall.
Okay,
but
well,
I agree with you.
We're paying for it. We want our kids smart and eat protein and brain food, right?
Well, hey, eggs are brain food.
Eggs are brain food, but I think they're powdered eggs at the school. And you're right, they don't taste that good. So make them happy and smart.
Thank you for calling and thank you for listening.
You know, they could partner. Remember when we were in school, they would give us chocolate milk or milk, regular milk, every morning. They should partner with one of these companies like Muscle Milk, or like one of the ones that have a higher protein content, or maybe the people that make Ensure. That'd be a good idea. You know, get that protein going first thing in the morning. And sure, there's some sugar involved there too, but you're getting like 32 grams of protein per serving. That's really good.
I think that's something I need to educate myself on, is how the food program within our schools work. I suspect that there are a lot of federal regulations that
yes,
say
sure.
exactly how we have to feed our children. And I would assume that there must be some kind of a shared buying program, maybe
sure.
for all the public schools in the area, and they give out the meals. I am very impressed with the people who work in the Champs Cafe, they call it. That's what
mm-hmm.
they call it up at the high school level. And I remember last year when I was at the Teacher and Support Employee of the Year program, which is a fantastic thing if people have never been, where we recognize the finalists and the winners for those. And so they had the five finalists for Support Employee of the Year, and one of the finalists was a woman, I can't remember what school she worked at, but she was the head of the cafeteria. And before I even get up in the morning, and I get up pretty early, she had made 1,000 breakfast burritos. And it was showing her in the cafeteria making all these breakfast burritos.
Wow. Yeah, I loved our cafeteria ladies because I saw how hard they worked.
And yes.
Yeah,
they really do.
Yes.
My mother was back then the PTA. She was president of the PTA.
That's great.
So I know that there's a lot of challenges, not only just facing Charlotte County, but our state. What's your goals on that? What's your plans to try to meet those?
Well, so you mentioned one of our biggest challenges, which is the poverty that we have in this county. The other challenge, I believe right now, that everyone has been reading about and hearing on the news is the number of tests that we are giving our children.
Right.
As a parent, it's important for me to know where my child stands. I want to know, is he or she doing grade level work? Are they, if they're in middle school, are they going to be ready to do the work in high school? When they're graduating high school, are they going to be career ready or college ready? We need to know that. But the testing, I feel, has gotten completely out of hand. Kindergartners who started school this school year, mm-hmm. by the time they graduate, they will take 79 tests. Yes, 79 tests before they graduate.
Standardized tests that they're going to be?
So we have several different tests here in Charlotte County. We have the Florida Standards Assessment, which many people may have heard of. That is the new assessment that has come down from our state legislators.
Instead of the FCATs?
Instead of the FCATs. And that is given in, correct, I might be wrong, but I believe 3rd grade, 8th grade, and 10th grade.
Okay.
They must take that test to pass on to the next grade. In addition to the FSA, though, we also have at the district level, we have many district mandated tests. We have something in the elementary schools called iReady. And then we also have end of course exams that students take in high school. So they have to, in order to graduate, they have to take an end of course exam in algebra. Now, when I was in school, we just took a final exam.
Right.
If you passed it, you passed. So when I say 79 tests, that actually doesn't include the other tests high school students take, such as midterms, finals, advanced placement exams.
SATs.
SAT doesn't include those. So as a school board member here in Charlotte County, there's nothing I can do about the FSA. A lot of people, we're getting a lot of feedback about the FSA. People are very unhappy about it. You need to talk to your state legislator about that. If we are unhappy about that FSA and how it's being done, we need to make that known to our state legislators. But the district mandated tests, I do feel that we as a school board need to direct our superintendent to take a close look at those district mandated tests, determine which of those tests have a clear link to student achievement. And I'm a big believer. I'm not an educator, so I need to listen to the teachers. So it was interesting. I actually asked a teacher friend of mine recently. I said, do you feel that those iReady tests are helping you in your job? Are they helping you determine where students are, where they need to go?
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't really give me an answer. She said, I'm not sure. I said, do you think giving those students those iReady tests is improving their achievement levels? And she said, I'm not really sure. And this is somebody who's been a very well-respected teacher who's been a teacher for a long time. So I think that you were talking about addressing challenges. I think that's something we need to do is decide which of those tests have a clear link to student achievement. And if they don't, we need to eliminate them.
Yes. And I think one of the challenges, because I have many school teacher patients, they tell me one of the biggest challenges is some of the kids, the parents are not getting involved. They need to get involved with the child to be supportive. That's one of the things they tell me. I'm sure you've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is they don't have the resources, maybe supplies.
Right.
And, we live in a country where, again, there is no other the resource that we have, number one, is our children and our health.
Right.
That's it. Right. That's the most important.
And it's not fair to the teachers I was recently speaking with some teachers of elementary school students who told me that they get a certain allotment of copy paper that they're allowed to use every year. And they said, we're done with our copy paper allotment by the end of August. And I said, well, what do you use the copy paper for? And she said, well, I like to send out newsletters. You know, every week I like to do, you're talking about getting the parents involved, right, a little newsletter that lets the parents know what's going on and what they can do this week to help their child.
Right.
Now, you might say, well, why doesn't she just send that out in an email or put it on the website?
Right.
Well, here's the thing. When you talk about a 65% poverty rate, she said, I have children in my classroom who do not have a computer. And even some students who might have a computer, they have no internet access.
Yes.
So she said, that doesn't work. And that's not fair to a teacher. It's not fair. How can they do their job? So that's a challenge.
I'm sure that's a big challenge because, you know, we're so into the internet and information, and already they're starting out the children without even having a computer in the home.
Right. Right. So that goes, you asked how I was going to address these challenges.
Yes.
I think one of the other important things is we need to start treating our teachers as the professionals that they are. These are,
yes,
college-educated professionals, and they need to be in the classroom teaching, not proctoring tests, not monitoring the lunchroom. Not that there's anything wrong with monitoring the lunchroom. The teachers I speak with, that's a fun part of their day. But we need to use them in the most effective manner that we can, because they are our resource as a school district also.
Right. Yes, because they're the ones. I mean, when you grow up, who do you remember? I could,
right,
tell you every single teacher I've ever had in school. In elementary, in high school, I remember them.
Right.
So, and it may play an important part in your life.
Yes, and we are very fortunate in Charlotte County. I have been, through my work in the Education Foundation, but also since I started campaigning, I have been out at a lot of our schools and at a lot of school events, and we have phenomenal teachers in Charlotte County. We really do.
And some really wonderful programs that for the kids, even like I have a nephew, he's in the band, he's in Junior Leadership Charlotte, AP courses. They have all kinds of, like you said, dual credits. You can go to school and start your nursing or LPN. And I mean, all these really, really great programs. But of course, like everything in life, that student has to be motivated.
Yes.
But part of that motivation comes from your school teacher, your parents.
It's a team, is what they say. It truly does take a village. And I'm sure many of your listeners read the news last year where our school district fell in its ranking. Do you know what I'm?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Talk to me about that.
So for anybody who does not know, a year ago, the headline in the newspaper was that our district had fallen in its ranking to 48 out of 67 counties in student achievement. And that was a big wake-up call for myself and I think for many in our community. The good news is with the new test that was just given, the FSA, we actually improved our ranking to 38.
Wonderful.
So that's good news. Our superintendent's not happy with that, though. He's not going to be happy until we get to number one. But he will tell you every single day, and I will tell you, that the only way that we are going to get to the top 10 and to number one is with every single person in this community, the business owners, the parents, the retirees, people like yourself mentoring, the teachers, the students. We all have to work at it. It's going to take everyone.
It really does. It takes a whole community. And that's, isn't that your motto for your campaign?
Yes.
That's it. Say it. It's good.
Dedicated to the community.
Yes. That's so good. That's a great.
Yes. Committed to the community, dedicated to progress.
Right. That's really good. Well, I'll tell you. So, Kim, I think you need to tell us again, what's your website? You know, we have Kim Amontri. She's running for school board, and you have to vote on August the 30th.
Yes.
Or you can
vote by mail. You can go to my website, amontriforschoolboard.com, and on there you can go to voter information. You can also contribute to my campaign. You can read about issues related to education, and there's also a contact me form. So if you would like to get in touch with me, you can fill out your information and send it to me.
Oh, wow, that's really good.
Yes, I love hearing from people. So
that's good. And I know you're going and giving a lot of speaking engagements at different community events. And
yes, absolutely. If you belong to an organization that would be interested in having me come speak about education, I'm happy to do that.
That would be great. And they can contact you at your website.
Yes.
And then this Saturday, you said about the spinning.
Yes, we have the spin-a-thon this Saturday. You can, same thing, contact me on my website. I'll give you the information about that. And if you're interested in contributing to the scholarship fund that I talked about, the Launch a Scholar, that website is charlotteschoolfoundation.org. You can go to there. We have a Donate Now button. We're trying to get individuals to pledge $85. The more people we have do that, the more children we can mentor and send to college.
Well, you got my pledge, $85.
Thank you.
I'm really excited. I just to help any young person to go to school. My mother had a dress shop, and she used to tell people, buy a dress so my daughter could be a doctor.
She must have sold a lot of dresses.
Yeah, sold a lot of dresses. And I still love clothes. Oh, we've been really, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. It's so good to have you with all your commitments and your passion for education and your spirit. I think this has been wonderful. And your spin class, because I know I have a friend who's in your spin class and loves your spin class.
Good. I hope more people will come. I would love to see every bike filled up tomorrow.
At the Bayfront Center.
It will be at the Bayfront Center.
And
in
that's
Punta Gorda.
Next to Gilcrest, right?
Yes. It's at Gilcrest Park in Punta Gorda. We have 28 bikes, different ride every hour. And all of the money for that goes to the Why Kids campaign to send kids to camp.
Oh, that's great. So, camp is great. I was a Girl Scout and I went to Girl Scout camp and I loved it.
Yes. So again, there's so many great organizations in our town that people can get involved with if they want to help. They can go to their local school and volunteer to help. But then there's all these outside organizations that support our students.
Do they still have parent-teacher organizations?
They do. You know, times have changed.
Okay.
Not just anybody can walk into our schools and volunteer anymore. You do have to, at a minimum, they will swipe your driver's license, I believe, to print out a special badge for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a mentor for us, then you actually get what's called a state contractor background check, which is more involved. So if you don't want to go through that, which not everybody does, make sure that you get involved with one of these other organizations.
Okay. Well, it looks like we're ending our show on this beautiful day. Thank you so much, Kim Amontree, who's running for school board. Remember August 30th? Think about the kids in our community. Take care of them. And this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Dr. Triana Show. Stay healthy and God bless.
Thank you, Dr. Triana.
Thank you.